Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Money and Change. Well, I'll tell you what, we've had some slight changes with the camera and everything else. It's been one of those days, you know. It's Labor Day, and I wanted to get out and do some labor, but I couldn't very well because I had a slight case of food poisoning. And just a word to the wise, since you're going to be out barbecuing and you're going to be out maybe visiting people, make sure that hot stuff is hot and cold stuff is cold. Because you can get nailed by sour cream. And I got that in a restaurant. And it was a good restaurant. I've been there many times before. But for some reason, the sour cream was a little bit... soft, I'll put it that way. So luck of the draw, yeah, this morning it was quite an experience. So I'm over that right now. I'm feeling better, and that's the good part. I've got to say hi to Jerry. He's in the room tonight. If you want to join us in the room, hey, join us. The chat room's always open. Hey, I hope your Labor Day's been going fairly smooth, a lot better than mine. But anyhow, guys, you know, once we get into September, the 31st, you know, is Monday, which is tomorrow. And then we get into the 1st of September, and a lot of stuff is going to start picking up and getting busier. And so we've got some stuff tonight to talk about, maybe hopefully to save you some money and kind of open your eyes and ears to certain things out there with food. Mm-hmm. But before we get going, you know, we have to give out a big shout out to the Trim Radio Network for carrying the show. Have to. And we always have a good time on the Trim Radio Network. And it's kind of evident. We have some pretty good presenters here. And we had fun. Last night I was, I was on Mariscala Steffen's show. And, I wasn't really on it. I was in the chat room and I was listening to part of it. I didn't have time to really say howdy. But, you know, I check in on that show quite a bit. Interesting 3-hour show. I don't think I could do 3, maybe 2, but just 3's a little bit beyond my limit here. Attention span theater? I don't know. Anyhow, guys, let's see what we've got going here. Because if we don't get stuff covered, we'll run out of time. Well, here we are at the Trim Radio Network, and you know the drill. And you can take a look at us, and you can do a lot of different things here. And, you know, we always talk about the guys responsible. Guys and gals responsible. Michael Bejas is the founder and CEO, generally a very good guy. And he's a good computer builder, too. So, you know, you got to watch his shows. Offsides 24, you got to watch that. Okay. Also, Mariscala Steffen, he's the chief operating officer. And he's responsible for day-to-day operation management of the network and ensuring efficiency and quality and all that kind of good stuff. He's also a computer whiz. He's really helped me out in a bunch of different things. Oh, and then there's me. I still don't know what I'm supposed to do. Chief relationship officer. Am I supposed to go out and shake hands with people and say howdy? I don't know. But I'm responsible for building the foundational trust and goodwill necessary for long-term success. And we want to have long-term success. So tell your friends about the Trim Radio Network. Okay, trimradio.com. Also, we have Victoria Smith. And she's the chief marketing officer. And she helps set up my show on Wednesdays and Sundays. And she's a computer whiz, too. And so you know, and check out her shows out too. So that's our management team here. And I'll tell you what, good people all the way around. And I wouldn't say they were good if I didn't think they were good. Okay. The shows that we've got, hey, let's go into those because, you know, you can add your show to the Trim Radio Network. Very easy to do. And all you have to do is take a look. Money and Change right here, Sunday, 7 p.m. Okay, the next day will be in the vault. We'll also be on Rumble and YouTube. And I also post the show on our Facebook page. We'll get to that. Life Walk with Christ God every Wednesday at 7 p.m. with Michael Bejas. We've got My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. That's our fun night to kick back and have a little bit of fun. And I think I found out this week that Gary Burbank, who was a Drive Time celebrity, I mean, he was a celebrity, on WLW out of Cincinnati, and he passed away. And so I'm going to do a little bit of a tribute to him because I've actually met the guy a couple of times, and I knew some of the people that worked on his show on WLW Radio. And so we'll do that Wednesday night. Also, we have the Natural Marketer podcast with Victoria Smith. Check her out. We've got Offsides, College Football Top 25. And I imagine Michael had a lot to talk about for that. He's going to have more on Thursday, too. And then we have the Positude podcast, Fridays at 8 p.m. Adventure Waits Around the Bend. And that's Saturday at 1 p.m. We've got Ranched Up with Tigger and Beck at 1:30. So you need to check them out. And we also have Rascalis Red Pill Reality Show. You know, you can give me the green pill, or no, the blue pill or the red pill. And I keep telling them I want the green pill. I like green for some reason. Even though my eyes are blue, I do like green. Especially the kind that you can put in your wallet and spend. Mm-hmm. Okay, so anyhow, we've got that. And you can put your show in here too. Just contact us. And how do you do that? This little red dot over here, all you have to do is click on that dot. And here you go. Put your name, phone number, don't forget the area code, message. Tell us exactly what you want to do. I want to do my own show. How do I do it? And how do I get sponsors and yada, yada, yada. And put your email address in, maybe your cell phone number too, and click on send a message. And somebody gets back with you right away, okay? And just to let you know, our network goes out all over the world. Why? Because we're on the internet. Yeah, it helps. And Michael and I were both on another network, and it was a local broadcast in Columbia, South Carolina. I think we got out a little bit on the World Wide Web. But when we decided to go with our own network, it worked out really well. And so now we're everywhere. I've got listeners in Myanmar, South Africa, India. Oh, where else? Oh, Kenya. Jumbo and Habari. For those in Kenya, that's about the only phrases I know. I went to school with a guy who later became the assistant secretary to some governmental agency in Kenya. And we had a lot of foreign students. And we'll get into that a little bit. Also, it's easier to get in here. We have shows in, like I said, Africa, India, Burma, Europe, and North America. If you know English, you're good to go. I know very little of the other languages. I mean, I could probably get by a little bit in German. I can read French and understand that. Swahili, like I said, I don't know a couple phrases. And so anyhow, we're getting around different places. So one place we're not in is Iceland. So if you know anybody in Iceland, tell them about the show. Okay. Have them send us an email saying, hey, I listened to Stu talk on Money and Change or My World on Wednesday nights. I listen to him and, you know, I want to follow your shows. Very easy to do. Now we go to the heart of the thing here. We've got a Facebook page. Yeah, if you went to our Facebook page, Money and Change / Financially Prepped, you would have seen this. Yeah, there's money there and gold and other types of coins. And we've got 171 members on our group. All you have to do is ask. I'll get you included in the list. And what we do is I post everything right here on Money and Change / Financially Prepped in Facebook. And you'll see what we have here. It says, join me live or for a live edition of Money and Change, 7 p.m. TrimRadio.com. Stories covered will be in the comment section below. Well, you just scroll down, and what do you find? All the topics we're going to be talking about. So if I skip over something, guess what? You can go right back to that list. And we've been doing that for quite a while, and I think people love it. So what else is, Amber Stork, Social Security is running out. And she posted that this week, and so I thought I better post it. And Amber is a self-made millionaire. She lives very frugally, lives out in California. And so she's saying here, Social Security will run out earlier than expected. Well, yeah, they put a bunch of undocumented or illegal aliens into the system, which will bankrupt it. So I'd be talking to your congressman or congresswoman and try to get things straightened around. But see, here you can see different things for the show. And also here's Colby, and he's talking about martial law declared. Well, I don't think it's really been declared, but for all of you guys like to have a lot of criminal things going on, yeah, why don't you just fly right, okay? But anyhow, that's our page. And I will post tonight's show from either Rumble or YouTube right here on this page, so you can always go back to it, okay? But check us out. It's free to join us, so do it. Okay. Oh, what's been going on? I'll tell you one thing that's been going on. A lot of stuff is going on over at Rusty Duck's Custom Pens and Blanks. You have to check him out. Phil does an excellent job. And I will be posting some stuff of some of his works over there. So if you're a school or college or university or business, club, sorority, whatever, you need a custom presentation pen for your president for a good year or a big customer, contact Phil and he'll do a custom pen that'll be beautiful. He has a great Second Amendment pen too. He has two different styles, and you can check those out at his website on Facebook, Rusty Ducks Custom Pens and Blanks. So check him out, okay? Wow, what's going on? Getting into the heart of the matter here. Oh, yeah, I saw this today and I thought, for those of you on the East Coast, I would be worrying because I saw this on Zero Hedge, and it's fecal fiasco. That's called alliteration in English. Fecal fiasco, Labor Day letdown. As East Coast beaches close due to contamination. That kind of brings to mind of, what was it, Caddyshack? When somebody accidentally floated a baby Ruth in the pool and everybody bailed out. Yeah. Well, this is in the ocean. And according to Zero Hedge, said some of the East Coast's most popular beaches stretching from Long Island all the way down to Florida will be off limits to swimmers this Labor Day. So stay in your pools and not in the ocean. Thanks to sky-high levels of fecal contamination, officials warned. On Long Island, Benjamin's Beach in Bayshore, a favorite summer spot along the Great South Bay, was slapped with a swimming ban earlier this week after Suffolk County officials found bacteria levels above acceptable safety limits. And health officials warned that the swimming pool in, or the swimming in poo water can result in gastrointestinal illness, rashes, infections of the eyes, ears, nose, and throat. and urged residents to stay out of the water until testing shows it's safe. And even then, I wouldn't ingest the water. It would probably be more than leaving a bad taste in your mouth, if you know what I mean. Meanwhile, beaches from Crystal River, Florida, to Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and Ogunquit, Maine, have also been slammed with advisories tied to bacteria linked to fecal matter, threatening to spoil swimmers' holidays. I don't know how it gets in there because it's treated at local treatment plants. So the water going into the ocean or the rivers should be fairly clean. And after, I believe it's about a mile or 2 miles of flow, everything's pure. Not 100%, but a lot better than what came in at the other end, if you know what I mean. So, you know, Crystal River, I've been in Crystal River. It's a nice place. I haven't been to Cape Cod. And Ogunquit, Maine, I've never been there, but I have friends in Maine. So I have to ask them where it's at. The culprit, it's a nasty mix of urban runoff, sewage overflow. That's what happens when you have a lot of rain. And factory farm waste that's been pushing dangerous pathogens straight into American waters. Now, here in Ohio, at Grand Lake St. Mary's and also over at Indian Lake, they had a lot of farm runoff, which caused a spike in different types of bacteria. And one article that I read a couple years ago, a dog fell in, a guy goes in to pick up the dog. They cleaned up both of them, but the dog died. And the guy, he got sick. And all he did, he was only in for probably a couple of minutes. But I guess he ingested the water. So you have to be careful, okay? So check your health warnings for your rivers and streams and so forth. You just use regular pools, okay? That's a big heads up there. Be safe. Don't get sick. Wow, we're losing our community. Short-term rentals are ruining three rivers, according to residents. This was also in Zero Hedge. And it said, in early 1970s, Three Rivers was a quiet foothill town where cattle ranchers spared a wave of tie-dyed, or sparred with a bunch of tie-dyed newcomers. I guess they're hippies. For open space and a slower way of life. Back then, the biggest changes came from the clash of cultures. And today, the struggle is more existent. How to balance demands of millions of tourists drawn to nearby Sequoia National Park with the needs of a community of just over 2,000 people. That was according to the SF Gate. And Three Rivers Beauty, it's a tumbling Kaweah River, which rolls in the Green Hills in the spring and approximately in proximity to parks, giant sequoias, has made an increasing population destination. And anytime you get increasing population into a rural area, things begin to happen. Well, a quick search of Airbnb turns up hundreds of listings from canvas tents pitched in backyards to 11-bedroom riverfront mansions. On summer afternoons, visitors line up for frozen yogurt and craft beer. Cars squeeze into makeshift roadside parking areas, and restaurants overflow. I imagine the sewage system also overflows, if you know what I mean. Well, the SF Gate says that the constant churn has left many locals uneasy, and residents say the explosion of short-term rentals has eroded the neighborhood ties, driven up housing costs, and even led to more encounters with bears rooting through tourist trash. So now you're drawing more animals in. Not only are you going to get the bears, but you're also going to get the raccoons coming in. They're better known as trash pandas, but really, if you raise them, they could be quite nice if it's legal to do. And I've seen videos of that. Well, anyhow, they're saying that trash is all over the place. And we don't know who to call because the owners are out of town with those Airbnbs. And so the people that are coming in are trashing the town, and the town used to be a really nice place. And the more people you get, the more trash you get, right? So word to the wise, if you're going to have a whole bunch of Airbnbs and more people coming in, they're going to spoil the environment. So beware. Also, the prices of housing has gone up. You know what got me? Housing has gone up and up and up. And it's getting very expensive. And somebody said, well, you know, we're going to fix up our house and then sell it. I said, then where are you going to go? Oh, we'll find someplace better. And I said, how much do you expect to pay? And they said, well, probably $200,000, $250,000 to start with. I said, okay, you're going to be back in debt again when you sell your house. And the cost is going to go up and up and up. Well, years later, they started reevaluating the properties. And suddenly, what was $150,000 went to $250,000. And what was $250,000 or $350,000. And are they going to get that? Who knows? I know one that's for sale next to one of my properties, and it was $350,000 is what they wanted for it. It's a nice place. I've known the people that have owned it for years. But I'll tell you what, I don't know if it's going to go for that. So we'll see. But you get a lot of B&Bs, Airbnbs in there. And in some cases, you know, I get phone calls and they say, oh, you want to sell your property? It's always a foreign voice. And I'll say, yeah, I'll sell my property. Oh, how much? I said, starting bid is $3 million going up. I know it's not worth that. But it's a game I play with them, because if they come out of the blue and they want to buy property, I know they're not up to any good. So I automatically raise the rates. And then they call back 2 weeks later and they say, do you want to sell your property? Yeah, $4 million. Oh, is that negotiable? I said, no. And I said, I've already had four callers. Yeah, to buy the property, but not at $4 million. It's a game I play, if you know what I mean. I don't trust cold calls. But anyhow, you know, the more people you come into a city, they kind of leave things trashy. I was watching some videos of other foreign countries, and the towns aren't trashy. So people have to learn to clean up themselves, you know, not leave the trash around. What else is on the books here tonight? We've got... when Washington gets out of the way, energy workers deliver results. Oh, yeah, that's true. And that was Larry Behrens at Real Clear Energy. And Labor Day feels different. He says, after years of paying too much at the pump and hearing politicians in Washington tell us that it was all Putin's fault, American families are finally getting relief. And the reason is simple. Our energy worries, our workers have an administration that lets them do their jobs. You know, anytime government gets involved, things are always difficult. And the biggest thing that Ronald Reagan said one time was, words that make you want to run the other direction is that when somebody says, hi, I'm here from the government and we're here to help, run. I've never seen more regulations and red tape and driving up the cost of building something under a government contract because you have to use prevailing wage, which adds basically between 25 to 35% onto the project. Yeah, we could have had it for a lot less and probably would have been as good of a build as possible. But anyhow, you know, they're saying that, you know, weekend gas prices are the lowest they've been since 2020. Not around here. They're now 329 last time I checked. And before that, it was like in the 280s, 270s. So it's Labor Day, and they like to take advantage of you during Labor Day. So buy your gas before Labor Day and after Labor Day weekend. Word to the wise. And, you know, America's now producing nearly 13.5 million barrels of oil a day. And that's the highest level in our nation's history. Well, we could produce a lot more than that. And we could be energy self-sufficient if government would just get out of the way with all the regulations. And, you know, you have to have some regulation, but you don't have to have a lot of regulation where things get bogged down because of the regulation, the paperwork. So anyhow, President Trump's America First energy policy is finally working and not against the men and women who power our nation. That's great. America needs an energy first policy. They're finding out that the wind turbines and the solar panels aren't exactly producing a lot of energy. Just ask California. And what do you do if the wind-powered turbines no longer work? Can you grind up and recycle the stuff? I don't think so. They start to bury things. They recycle what they can and then bury the rest. Is that good? No. We're always going to have a mix of nuclear and coal and gas. And we could do solar, but solar's not that efficient yet. So, you know, cut out the government regulation and let us get back to work. I mean, the coal miners in West Virginia and Kentucky, they could use the work, number one. Number two, we have a lot of clean burning coal plants. So it's not America that's causing the mess. It's actually China that's actually doing the pollution bit. Well, what else is going on? Oh, Switzerland. Yeah, Switzerland tops U.S. as world's wealthiest nation per person. In 2024, the global wealth per person increased by 4.6%. But which countries have the highest wealth per person? And the visualization from a visual capitalist shows it. And this is from Niccolo Conte. Ranks the top 15 countries by average and median wealth per person based on data from the UBS Global Wealth Report in 2025. So at the top, you've got top average is Switzerland, followed by the US, Hong Kong, Luxembourg, Australia, Denmark, Singapore, New Zealand, Netherlands, Norway, Canada, Belgium, UK, Sweden, and then Taiwan. Now the top 15 median, and that's a middle value of a population's wealth distribution, with half the people having more and half having less, well, Luxembourg tops everybody with 395,000 of their, I guess, dollars. They don't say dollars. Well, yeah, they do. Australia's next at 268,000. Belgium is 254,000. Hong Kong at 222,000. And going on down. Gee. Where's the U.S.? I don't see the U.S. in the top. Do you? We're at the bottom, 124,000. And we've got inflation. Something doesn't make sense, does it? Well, speaking of things that do make sense, here's the U.S. debt clock at usdebtclock.org. You can check that out on the show. We've got the U.S. debt right now is at $37 trillion, $303 billion, $105 million, and now it's up to $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, and climbing. Yeah, those are the real numbers. Debt per citizen is $108,673. Do I have that kind of stuff? No, do you? How about debt per taxpayer, $323,054? If government would stop wasting money, we wouldn't be in debt. That's the moral of the story. We live with a budget. Why can't the government live with a budget? And if you go over your budget in the government, then something gets cut out of the spending. Because if we spent like the government, we would be in court so many times it'd be pathetic. Now, Doge, they're still around. They're saving some money, and it's right now it's at 616 billion, 16 million. It's going to be almost 600,000 on savings. Now, the savings per taxpayer is like 5,484. I remember when it was like 3,000 and something. Now it's up to 5,484. If they really watched it, we could save a lot more than that. Then you can take a look at your largest budget items, your Medicaid, and that's at 1,698,289,000,000 and flying. Social Security, same thing. The defense or for war is like 923,822,000,000 and climbing. And the interest in the debt, this is interesting. You get 1,044 million, billion, 594 million and counting. Too many numbers, too many digits. And too many times I cross my eyes looking at these numbers. But anyhow, check them out at the usdebtclock.org. It's got a lot of interesting things, and you can take a look at state debt too. So check it out. It's an interesting thing, and the links are down below in the comments. Okay, we've got a video. Oh no, he's got a video. Yes, we do. We've got one, the record high equity to cut their debts. Well, what's going on here? House rich, cash poor. Guess what? We were just talking about that, weren't we? Listen to what's having to say here.
That shows mortgage originations jumped in the second quarter to their highest level in nearly 3 years, driven by both purchases and cash out refinances. Cash out refinances made up 59% of all refinance transactions, and 70% of those borrowers took on higher rates to tap their home equity. Yahoo Finance senior housing reporter Claire Boston joins us now. So, Claire, let's start with the basics here. How do cash out refinances work?
Yeah, so a cash out refinance is pretty much any transaction where you are trying to tap your home equity. And what you typically will do is you will refinance your mortgage into the prevailing rates, take advantage of any equity gains that you've seen in your home, and then basically start your mortgage over. And so depending on when you got your mortgage, your rate may change. If you were like one of those lucky 3% mortgage people and you want to cash out refi now, you're probably going to pay today's prevailing rate, which is about 6.5%. That being said, if you have a 7% mortgage, you could also lock in a little bit of savings at this very moment. Just really depends on your situation. And I will point out that right now mortgage rates are averaging about 6.56%. That is the lowest we've seen since last October. So, maybe a little bit of an opportunity here, depending on what rate you had to start.
And for those who are considering these cash out refinances, what are the pros and cons?
Yeah, so I mean, rate is a huge thing that matters. A lot of people really want to keep that low rate and that low payment. But a lot of people cash out refi to pay down other debts. Credit card debt is super, super high right now. A lot of people really felt the pinch of inflation. And the rates on credit cards, we're talking 25, 30% in some cases. And so, a lot of mortgage loan officers will say, hey, let's look at what we call the blended rate on your debt. Is taking a 6.5% cash out refi going to give you cash at a lower rate than you could use to pay down all those credit cards? Auto loans also very high right now. And those are kind of, ways that people can really lower their monthly payments depending on their financial situation.
So talk to me about home equity because that also hit a record in the second quarter.
Yeah, definitely. So, this is really a continuation of that trend of home prices continue to appreciate in about half the country. And the run-up in prices has just been so huge in the past 5 years that pretty much anyone who has owned for more than a year or two is sitting on a really, really big chunk of equity. Yeah, it is $17.8 trillion nationwide. And, you know, a lot of those people, maybe they want to pull some of it out at this time. And so that's kind of what we're seeing right now.
All right, Claire, keeping all the information clear for us on the housing market, which can get very confusing. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Why would you want to get an equity loan? I mean, when you really think about it, in banks and equity loans, you're still paying. You might be paying a little bit less, but maybe for a longer time. You know, when I bought my house, what I did was, instead of 30 years, it was 15 years. I paid more, but I paid it off. It's been paid off for quite a while. Yeah, do I have equity built up? Sure, but do I want to go back into debt again? No. I don't want to go back into debt. Banks love you to go into debt because they can charge interest. And interest kills. You take a look at stuff. You know, you go to Walmart, better known around here as Wally World. You go there and you watch people pull out that credit card and they go ahead and they charge on that card and they might buy $200 worth of groceries and use the card. And at the end of the month, maybe they don't have enough money to pay it off, so they only pay off a portion. And they keep doing that throughout the year. That's not any good. Prepper Princess always says, live beneath your means. If you don't need Netflix, don't use it. If you don't want to pay for ESPN or whatever, and you can get it using an antenna instead of cable, do it. Save money where you can. Once in a while, you can go out to eat different places and have a good meal. But for the most part, you have to eat at home and save money that way, because then you're not paying for labor to prep the food or other business-related expenses. You're just fixing your own, okay? You have to save money, especially in these days. You really do. Oh, you thought I wouldn't sneak this in. I am.
Here to find out about some exciting new things happening on the campus of the University of Findlay. And joining us today, she is the Vice President for Student Affairs and Athletics at the University of Findlay, Brandi Loretta. And thanks for coming today.
Thanks for having me. Always happy to talk about good things happening on campus.
You always have to, like, you know, think about the students, right? To make good things happen for them. And you've guys got a new area. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So we're excited to open. We had our grand opening late spring, early summer of College Park. Due to the generosity of a great donor, we've added pickleball courts, a basketball court, pavilion, and fire pit. Really a great area for our students to gather, hang out. We're hopeful that classes will use the pavilion, really just make it a center of campus where everyone can work together. We hope the community will join us on campus and really make the university really part of the Findlay community.
It's important though, right, to have areas where students can relax and like meet and greet each other. And you know, it's all about academics, of course, but you got to have a little bit of fun too.
Yeah, you know, we think that learning happens outside of the classroom too. And so having this area where people can gather and communicate and hopefully be off their phones, you know, and really just interact is important. You know, our mission's meaningful lives and productive careers, and we really feel like this will help with the meaningful lives as they interact with each other.
Especially with pickleball, that's such a hot thing right now.
It is the craze.
All right, well, speaking of academics, orientation's been happening, and kids are heading back to the class.
They are. We're welcoming over 700 new students to campus, had our arch ceremony yesterday, our long tradition on campus. So we're excited. Orientation's in full swing. They're getting moved in, getting ready. Classes start Monday. So there's always a little bit of anticipation, nervousness as we welcome them to campus.
But this has got to be a fun time of year. Everyone's excited. And
oh, absolutely. You know, this is the best week of the year. It's busy and it's crazy, but we're so excited for the upcoming year.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of upcoming year, How have the athletics been doing? And are they really looking forward to a good season for some sports?
Yeah, last year the Oilers had a great year, finished in the top 10 in Division II in the nation of over 300 schools. So great year in overall athletic performance. Really looking forward to a great season's coming up, especially in the fall. Volleyball had a phenomenal run last year, and looking forward to what they'll do this year and all of our other fall sports. So really excited for athletics this year.
And you talk about the community come to campus and things like, for the sporting events, we can come watch, right?
Absolutely. Please join us on campus. We hope you will come watch. It's a great atmosphere, high level athletics, and the students, hopefully you get to meet them, because our student athletes, I will say, I'm biased, but some are the best. So smart young people who are excelling in their sport and in the classroom, please come to the University of Findlay and watch our athletics.
Right. Wonderful things happening on campus for students and the community.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks for coming today.
Thanks so much. All right.
And I sneaked one in for the University of Findlay. Hey, check it out. It's a good school. www.findlay.edu. It's a good school. And I'm just not saying that because I went there. It is a good school. And if you check out the University of Findlay and go and visit the campus and talk to some of the people up there, you'll love it too. It's a good school. It really is. And I'll tell you what, they do have scholarships. So maybe it's over with for the fall, but the winter semester, check that out. I think when I transferred from Ohio University, I transferred over the winter semester. And I had a great 2.5 years. I mean, I really did. And it's a good school, a lot of good professors. And so check out the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. Dr. Kathy Fell is the president. She's done a fantastic job, as well as all of the professors there. Great facilities and great international students. Well, another recall, new recall of potentially radioactive cocktail shrimp in 27 U.S. states. Hopefully they got them all out of the freezers. Hopefully. This article came on Zero Hedge, and it was by Naveen Anthropoli, long name, at Epoch Times. And she said, the Food and Drug Administration announces on August 28th, a new recall of cocktail shrimp sold at Walmart stores, better known here as Wally World, across 27 states for potential contamination due to being prepared, packed, or held under unsanitary conditions. Actually, it should be unsanitary conditions, where they have been, where they become contaminated with cesium-137. That sounds a little radioactive, doesn't it? Well, Seattle-based AquaStar, which is a USA corporation, is recalling approximately 26,466 ounce packages of cocktail shrimp imported from Indonesia and sold between July 31st and August 16. Now, I don't know how you check if it's been exposed to cesium. I don't think it'll glow in the dark in the refrigerator, but the states that you have to check are Alaska, Alabama, Arkansas, Colorado, Georgia, Iowa, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, Nebraska, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Dakota, and Tennessee, and Texas, and Washington, and Wisconsin. Oh, you got to watch out for when you buy your shrimp, okay? Make sure it doesn't have any of that cesium-137 in it. What else is up there? Oh, AI found to increasingly replace young entry-level workers, Stanford research shows. Now, I want to tell you something. This thing about artificial intelligence, better known as AI, you would think that they would have it in Washington, D.C., because there isn't any intelligence there, right? We all know that. Somebody will say, no, there are intelligent people, but they don't use their intelligence. I'll put it that way. But artificial intelligence is being used. You know, I went to Lee's Chicken the other night, and I was placing an order. And there was a voice on the speaker box, and I talked into it. It talked back to me. But it wasn't an employee. It was AI. It was all artificial. And it even posted the order up there the way that, you know, I wanted it and everything. It was great. But it was different because now you're not talking to a human. You're talking to a computer. And we're going to find out that that's going to be around for a while. And entry-level workers will have a hard time getting a job because of AI. Now, if AI ever messes up, then we have a problem, don't we? Okay. The article said early career workers aged 22 to 25 face a disproportionate threat to job loss from widespread adaptation of generative artificial intelligence, according to a recent research paper from Stanford University. Well, it's a research paper, but you have to take a look at the whole system. And yeah, we're going to be more automated over the years. We know that. And the big thing is to find a job where you're not going to be affected by automation. Okay. And it goes on to say, in contrast, employment for workers in less exposed fields and more experienced workers in the same occupations has remained stable or continued to grow. And that's where they need somebody with some skills and intelligence. AI can probably handle the simple things, but not the more complicated jobs. You can check this out. Remember, I talked about the comment section. This article will appear there. You can go ahead and read that and other links, okay, in the comment section. And workers increasingly fear exposure to AI. Time for a new approach. That article is there too. It's a little bit different article. And worried about AI are everywhere. Or worries. No. That was bad English. Jeez. The guys at Finley would nail me for that. Worries about AI are everywhere. And so read the article. Understand what's going on. Are you going to trust AI, artificial intelligence, on your computer? You know, I had a friend of mine in our local lodge, and he wrote a research paper, and it was based on King Solomon. And he read this thing, and it was interesting, and it got to the very end, and suddenly he said King Solomon had so many wives and this, that, and the other, and I'm like, not that we know of. And at the very end, he said, do you think I wrote this? And we thought, yeah, you probably did because you write a lot of stuff. I mean, he's a doctoral candidate and he's an IT engineer. And this thing was supposed to really be a work of art that he did. He said, no, artificial intelligence wrote the whole thing. I just gave it some basic information and it took off from there. And it had everybody kind of believing everything until the very end. So do you want to use artificial intelligence? Do you want to have your kids use it to do their research papers or do some of their homework? I don't think so. And do I trust artificial intelligence? No. I'm old school. You know, back when I was in school, we didn't have computers. We had typewriters and brains. And sometimes I wonder if we still have that. Anyhow, going on, here's our next video.
They're not good for any of these retailers. When you look across the various strategies that some of these retailers have done, whether it be absorbing costs, passing costs onto the consumer, pulling forward demand, what works best?
Well, there's a multiple choice here because I think we're all flying blind. We don't know yet what's going to be, but it's not going to be easy. That you can't control the controllables right now. You don't know what the cost of your goods are relative to retailing and margin. And we sit with pins and needles, for example, on China, which seemed is America's factories, a lot in China, needless to say, and a lot of people are using China for their manufacturing, even small little parts. So I think we haven't seen the worst of it at all. But, you know, I know as much as anyone else knows, not that much.
Right. And if you can't control the controllables as a leader of a retailer, what can you control?
Well, the one thing long term, you can control your product, and the goods are always number one. And Alex Milnow is kind of having a nice moment. I'm liking very much. I don't get too, I'm superstitious, but it's about the merchandise. And it's not about having algorithms. It's not about the data. It's about what you do with the data. How do you see down the street? What's the message from the consumer? Mm-hmm. And that's what will make it best. And I'm not a discounter brain. I think discounting is doing very well from what I hear, except with always exceptions. Mm-hmm. And I think the tariffs, they're hurtful. And inflation at 2.9%, I don't know if they've ever been to a supermarket or a clothing store or traveled, but food prices, from what I see, just as a consumer, are way up, and clothing is up, up, up. So it's a lot of confusion going in. And if people say that they have the answers, I wish they would give me a call and tell me what they are.
Yeah. We notice a lot of inflation out there, and it doesn't make any difference, especially in electronics. You know, new computers, the prices are up there. Laptops, the prices are up. Other things that are made over in China. Years ago, a friend of mine had a company made airplane propellers. The government said, we want you to consider opening factories in China. And the owner that I know said, well, we'll look into it. And they went over there following the government's suggestion. And I don't think that they ever put a plant there because they didn't want their intelligence for making the props and everything, all the designs and so forth, going over to China. And they're one of the world's largest manufacturer of propellers, especially carbon fiber propellers too. What else is going on? What's identity theft? You can read about identity theft. It's an important thing. And you have to be very cautious because a thief could open credit cards or loans in your name, drain your bank account, or make unauthorized purchases, file false tax returns to collect funds, and use your identity to receive medical care or government benefits. Yeah, it can happen. You know, I get some spoofy things once in a while, and they say, oh, thank you for doing this and spending $300 and some on PayPal. Guess what? I don't use PayPal. And if I said, okay, now you have to correct this, and you call them, they'll say, well, we need your Social Security number. Well, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get other information. I hate scammers. I really do. I hate them with a passion. And if I could ever have a program built into my computer where it could out-scam the scammers, boy, I'd love to do that. What else is up? Oh, Americans underestimating health care costs. Yes, and we have that also listed.
Americans have not considered how they'll pay for health care in retirement. According to Fidelity, let's talk about some ways that can get you prepared. Joining us now is Yahoo Finance senior columnist, Carrie Hannon. So Carrie, you often recommend a health savings account or HSA. What makes this such a powerful tool and what are some of the biggest benefits of using one?
Yeah, Ellie, I absolutely do love these health savings accounts, and not everyone has access to them, but if you have a high deductible health insurance plan, which means that your premiums are a bit lower, but the deductible is higher, you qualify for these health savings accounts. And the beauty is you can put the money in tax-free. It can build up tax-free. And when you take it out, it is tax-free. And there's no minimum required distribution at some point, as long as you take those out for qualified medical healthcare expenses. Now, you can't put a lot in each year to these. It's around this year, it's $4,300 for an individual to contribute to these. But if you start early enough and use these, you know, invest your money in these HSAs, they'll be there for you to cover your retirement costs in retirement in a way that no other, it's like the triple whammy, right?
Now, you're right that most taxpayers don't let their HSA funds build up over time. Is that a mistake, though, Carrie?
Yeah, you know, it is in many ways. But Ellie, the point is these were put together to help people pay for their current healthcare costs, right? So, and you know, people tend to use these accounts as checkbooks. And if it's possible to let that money stay in the accounts and stay invested in these accounts and roll it over year to year, it can be an incredible retirement savings vehicle to pay for these healthcare costs. The problem is, Ellie, I don't think many people understand how these work yet. There's not a lot of financial education around the investment possibilities or giving people, employers, giving people guidance on how can we invest these like we do our 401k. So I think that's something that we need to work on, but they are super powerful if they can be held in that account and rolled over year to year until you need those funds at retirement, because it comes out tax-free and you don't pay anything on those capital gains either.
Now, how about for people nearing retirement? How do you know if your savings are adequate? How much should you aim to have?
Oh gosh, this is such a tough one for people. And as you mentioned earlier, you know, most people don't want to even think about this, right? So it's very nuanced. There's lots of caveats. How much you're going to need is going to depend, how much it's going to cost you is going to depend on your own personal health, right? You know, how healthy you are, where you live in the country, because healthcare costs vary widely across the country. And how long you're going to live, we don't know. So there's sort of this crystal balling it. But the good number to work with is your healthcare costs are going to be one of the biggest expenses in retirement and your annual expenses. And that a good number is maybe 15% of your living costs each year. And so if you can put that into, as you start to do your financial planning with your advisor or what have you, think of that as a big part of your retirement budget. It's 15% of your annual expenses. And if you can start planning early enough, you can be sure that you have enough set aside to cover these out-of-pocket medical expenses. And this is, you know, after Medicare. So this is something that most people really, they think Medicare covers all, but in reality, that's not the case.
No, it isn't the case. And you can see the rest of the article, the rest of the video on our Facebook page, because it's there. Wow, guys, we are just about out of time. We are. And so what are we going to do? Have a good day tomorrow, even though it's Labor Day. Don't labor as much. Kick back, relax, have a good time. Hot foods hot, cold foods cold. Make sure everything is clean as far as utensils that you're using and so forth. Okay, that's a big thing for that. And we'll see you Wednesday on My World. I want to do a little bit of Gary Burbank. And you wonder, who the heck is Gary Burbank? Well, I've got some stories about Gary Burbank, and I'll get some videos or some audios of Gary Burbank. We'll talk about him and a few other people, okay? And with that, that's all I have. You have a good remainder of the Labor Day weekend, and we'll see you Wednesday on My World. See ya.